Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey, it's Tim Kawakami, TK Show. Once again, standing in a lobby at the bottom floor of Levi's Stadium, very near where the 49ers are just about to start a special teams meeting, which George Kittle invited me into. He's not part of it, but he was laughing. I did not go in there. I think the coaches were a little bemused by that. I just finished up a nice conversation with George Kittle. That's who I would talk to for TK Show. Kind of want to talk to him about, obviously, the Brandon Ayuk situation, how he thinks about that as a team leader, how he thinks about that for the locker room, what this means for the present and the future of the 49ers. Clearly one of the true leaders of this team. And I got into kind of the sense of him being part of a 49ers standard bearer. He and Fred Warner, there's others, and just what it means to be where they are, what it means to be on the other side of 30 while all this happens. And also we got into some just his view of Brock Purdy, another emerging leader on this team, what he's seen from him that might be a little different this camp, what he sees from him now this team kind of pivots into partly being Brock Purdy's team. So hope you enjoy it. We were also kind of glancing over at the end of the USA-Serbia game as this was happening. It was up on the screen. We did not get too distracted, but this was just as Team USA was pulling away in that after being down all the game. So if there was any moment of stopping, and then yes, my phone did ring while we were doing it, but I don't think you'll hear it. But that's also on this nice, long discussion. All right. Hope you enjoy it.
All right. We got to start, obviously, with the Ayuk situation. I don't want to put that to the side
here.
Sure. It's all over everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you're watching SportsCenter or whatever, but I'm sure your people are asking you about it. Or is it something that you feel on the practice field, in the locker room, one of your best players could be traded? What's that issue right now?
Like for me personally, I noticed it more like early on in training camp, just because like the last time I was in a huddle was with Ayuk, and then, you know, you're in week three and, you know, there's injuries on the team, new guys running out of the huddle, so like you're just used to whoever's in the huddle with you at that point. So I honestly, to me, it's less weird now than it was to start. You know, Ayuk's a phenomenal football player, and with all the stuff that's happening on the outside, I mean, I have no idea. Like, I see stuff on, you know, Instagram occasionally. I don't really watch any type of SportsCenter or talk sports stuff, but it doesn't really affect me at all. I'm just like, well, you know, hopefully it pans out the way that the best possible way for both Brandon and the 49ers, and whatever happens, happens, because I have zero control over it and there's nothing I can do about it. So if I just worry about it, it's just going to distract me from my job. So what I try to do, and all the guys in my room say, hey, just focus on what you can control, and if you can't, figure that out.
You've been through the business side of it.
That I have.
Yeah, and all your teammates have been through the business side of it. At some point, this is getting real. I mean, I'm sure it's real when you're dealing with it, but you got a lot of guys who've gone through this, got a lot of guys who are very valuable, have made a lot of money. At some point, the dollars are short. Do you get that? Do you start looking around, okay, they're making some decisions here. Eric Armstead gets cut because of this. I mean, does it start sinking in, like, the dollars might not be there for everybody?
You know, Tim, like, honestly, like, I've had former players, I've had, like, people on the outside, like, I get asked that all the time, like, you can't pay everybody, you have a superstar team, we'll talk about a window closing and that type of stuff, and I'm just like, all I know is that currently, right now, we have a really good roster, and I'm just going to try to attack it every single day with the really good roster that I have, and because if you think about the future and stuff like that, like, I remember being told in, like, 2021 that, if we don't win it this year, the window's closed, and we've been in three NFC championship games since then. So the window hasn't closed. John and Kyle and Jed have done a great job about figuring out a way to, whatever metaphorical window, keep that open. And we do a good job with that. I would say, like, really for Brandon, it's just, I want what's best for him. And, you know, if he requests a trade, you know, I hope that he gets to go somewhere that's best for him. And I have no bad blood with Brandon. It's always a really – and each, like, contract negotiation is so different and so unique. Like, I think everybody in the world knew what Bosa was going to do. Like, it was going to be a holdout until they paid him exactly what he wanted. And, like, that just is what it is because that's what his brother did. And, like, I just think every contract negotiation is just so unique. And so, like – and I don't know any details about Brandon's either besides just trying to remind him that contract negotiations are like braces, and they suck the entire time. And when you get them off, you have a nice pretty smile, but millions of dollars in your bank account. So – it's just like whatever's best for him, and I try my best to not ask questions about that stuff because I don't want to lie to you guys. I actually have no idea what's going on, and but again, it's just like I'm going to focus on what I can control, and I wish the best for everybody.
This team without Brandon, it would be a pretty significant loss, I would imagine. You would.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it would be a significant loss. He's a fantastic wide receiver who does everything that you want him. He runs every route tree. He makes huge plays. He gives 100% effort in the run game. He leads by example. He brings awesome energy every single day of work. He's everything that you want in a football player. So I love having him as a teammate. But the one benefit to him not practicing and stuff is a lot of younger guys get all these reps, and they get they're getting important reps with the ones and with Brock that they wouldn't be getting, you know, otherwise. And like, I'm not going to take probably any rookie over Brandon. Like, I'm not going to do that. But the fact that now these young guys get these reps, it's going to put them in a position to succeed if we can't figure stuff out with Brandon. And they'll be more ready for a season as opposed to, like, just riding the, like, going with the twos and threes the whole time. So, you know, it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah. Having gone through it yourself, I know, you know, it was not an easy negotiation. Your agent has been very clear about that.
Old Jackie.
Yes. do you start thinking, like, listen, they cut Armstead. And
they did.
And they traded Buckner. And I don't want to, but you're 30 now.
Yeah.
You know, they could be looking at you.
For sure.
I mean, does that, what does that do for you when that issue is out there?
Well, it's not really an issue for me. My thing is that there's nothing I can do about that except for go out there at every single practice and every single game, show them why they need to keep me around. That's the only thing you can control. Stay healthy, make a bunch of plays, play at a high level, be a good person, and win football games. And if I can just do that, I feel like I'm going to be a Niner for a really long time. And if I think about they've done this before, you're at the end of your contract, you're 30, it's like, I don't really feel 30, and I'm going currently out there, I think I'm having a pretty good training camp, my body feels pretty good, and I'm just going to continue to play the way that I've been playing. And my entire career, that's been at a pretty high level. So I'm just going to keep doing that and, you know, let everything fall into place as it is.
Kelsey's playing a long time.
He's 34?
35 now, maybe?
He's doing a great job.
Yeah. I mean, he's like tight ends can, you know, like Gronkowski was really banged up by his early 30s.
And yeah.
Retired probably early 30s.
For sure.
How much of that is reality to you? Like, you know, this is getting towards the time when some of the great tight ends have started getting banged up, started to slow down.
Honestly, I've never thought about it. I do my best job to, the second the season ends, I do everything I can to get my body ready for the following season. And whether that's stem cells, whether that's extra treatment, whether that's finding new and exciting things to do that are all totally legal, that's what I'm trying to do to get my body back completely where it can be. And I'm very aware that I'm not 23 years old anymore, but I honestly, haven't been able to tell the difference between 27 and 30. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I'm just going to keep going until the wheels fall off. And I feel like the way that I take care of my body, the wheels aren't going to fall off for a while, knock on wood.
They talk about getting that second tight end and like similar, like getting the running back to take the load off of Christian.
For
like
sure.
They talk about these things. Do you really want that? I mean, wouldn't you like, hey, stay with me, I'm the guy, give me it. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to ever come out of a freaking ball game.
You know what? I love playing every single snap. You get into an awesome rhythm and flow. You get to feel the defense. You can see, like, you have a better feel for, like, their techniques when you go against a certain defensive end multiple plays in a row. Like, you feel their tilt. You feel their first step. You know, I would love to have a guy that, you know, they can trust that comes in once in a while. If I could save 10 plays off my legs a game and go from 75 snaps to 65 snaps, all it does is help me out in the end and helps the Niners out in the end. So whatever plan they come up with, it works for me. As long as I'm healthy and playing football, like, I'm a really happy guy. So I just like being out there with my teammates.
You say there's not much. You don't feel different from 27 to 30, but you've really, I mean, maybe 27 is when it started. You really started taking on a leadership role.
For sure.
I mean, we all know you're vocal, and you and Fred, I think, are the two people that we identify as being.
Sure.
What does that mean to you? What's been different for you as that kind of, as you ascend even further? I think you and Fred clearly seem to be like the two voices of that locker room, at least publicly, at least, and probably inside too.
It means a lot. When I was early in my career, I got to look up to multiple different vets that were very good leaders, and that was from Joe Staley, who I think is one of the greatest leaders that I've looked at, and from someone that was like positive and like would help guys, put them under his wing, but at the same time could flip a switch and could get under a guy's skin and be like, hey, you need to do this way better. And it took me a couple years to figure out that part of it, because I'm a very positive guy, you know, glasses overflowing, like everything's positive. And there's times that works a lot, but there's also a lot of times that some people need a fire lit underneath them. And so learning that part of it, and then another leader like Garrett Selleck, who's the most positive person I've ever been around in my entire life, like was a safety raft for me and kind of showed me the ropes. And so like the things I learned from Joe and Garrett Selleck are things that I try to put into practice every single day with my guys, my young guys, and my tight end room. And then the older I've gotten, and then, you know, Joe Staley retires, Garrett Selleck retires, and then that 2020 season, it's like, and that was, you know, 2020 was whatever it was, so let's just skip to 2021.
Yes.
Let's go to the 2021 season. You have me, Fred. I don't think Sherm was there at that point. You know, and Sherm's fantastic. I learned a ton from him as well. But it was me, Fred, Trent Williams, and then at that point, it's basically, hey, it's Debo, he was in year three. And you had Eric Armstead at that point too, who was a good leader. And Bosa. So it's just like we were kind of a young group of leaders. But what we did a good job of was that we just tried to practice at a very high level every single day and kind of set a standard that was, if you're walking into the San Francisco 49ers organization, if you get signed here, if you don't play at this level, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb on tape and you're going to be embarrassed about your own play. And we felt like if we can continue to practice like that every single day, that it's just going to elevate us every single day. And so, yes, Fred's very active. You know, he breaks the team down before every single game. Brock does a really good job. You know, when we're in the locker room, he breaks us down in there, Trent. But it's really like, I think everyone is so authentic into who they are, like the way that they lead. And we have multiple leaders across the field, is that like there's no BS around. Like, Fred's he's a hoot and holler guy. Like, he's very active in that. And like, I'm a vocal person, but like, I'm more of like, I'm just going to be encouraging the entire way, like just unapologetic encouraging the entire game, no matter what happens. And I just feel like that type of leadership really allows us to play at a high level, but also enjoy ourselves when we're out there.
When did you start feeling, you talk about a tight end room. Mm-hmm. When did you start feeling comfortable kind of leading beyond that room?
Let's see, beyond the tight end room?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, 2019, I think just kind of like a light bulb went off, and it made me like, hey, like I've always considered like the NFL, like it's your job now. Like, you're not in college, like you don't have time to goof off and stuff like that. Like, this is your job. And like 2019, like a light bulb really went off, because I can't remember what year was Staley then, 14?
Oof.
Something like that, though? Yeah, like 13, 14?
Yeah, he was 06, I think, draft.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's called 7. Yeah, 13, 14. And it, like, a light bulb went off. It was like, this guy's trying to win a Super Bowl, and he doesn't have, like, I was in year three. I was like, I mean, I have time, like, you know, go out there, make mistakes, figure it out. And then you realize you have a guy like a vet like Joe Staley, Garrett Selleck, Richard Sherman. It's like, they don't have that many more years, and like, they need to win now. They need you at your best now. And, like, that light bulb went off for me, like, 2019. I was like, I have to show up every single day trying to get better. And I can't just be me. You get a phone call.
That's okay. Forget
it. It can't just be me. I need to get all the guys around me to do it too. And so like in 19, we did a good job, our tight end room, like we took good steps forward. And then really like when those guys left, I realized that, you know, I can't just be the tight end leader. Like, I need to be vocal for whether it's the offense, special teams. And like, I don't need to be too vocal for the defense, but like just showing the support. And like, when you as like teammates care about each other outside of just football, it makes it a lot easier to play for each other.
When, I don't want to keep hitting on this, but you talk about Staley and you were looking at him as a younger player.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, younger players are looking at you.
I know. It's like, that's what's crazy. I saw Joe, he was at training camp like 2 years ago, and he was like, hey, what's the weirdest thing about being like in year, whatever, six or seven? I was like, well, like, because it was right after like my whole draft class was gone. I was the only guy left for my draft class. And I was like, that's honestly probably the weirdest thing, because you know, you have 3-4 years with your draft class, and then some guys might sign back. So like we had DJ Jones, and then he was gone the following year. So like being the only guys from 2017, I was like, it just feels, I don't want to say lonely because you have friends everywhere else, but you spend a lot of time building these relationships early on with your rookie class and the guys in your room. 5 years later, your room's entirely different, and all those guys are signed to different teams. So you just kind of, you're sitting there like the Will Smith meme, like in the living room by yourself. You're just like, holy cow, like this is weird. And so being able to, like, because when you're around all your friends and stuff, it's really easy. You have guys to lean on. You know, you can have those fun conversations. You have your best friends. You're going to movies. Like, whatever you're doing, like, you have guys to talk to. Now no one's there. It's like, you have to do that either by yourself or you have to find new people to be with in your room. You have to be very trusting of, like, new guys that you're talking to. You have to build new relationships, or you like kind of do it on your own, and like you build that up through, you know, your relationship with your wife, your girlfriend, whatever that is. And so just learning that, how different that was a huge difference for me. Just like once everyone was gone, I was like, okay, like, you know, I still got, like, you know, Ross Dwelly was still here. I had Charlie Warner and Fred, but it was just like, it's a much different team than what it was 4 years ago. And so that was one of the weirdest things for me.
You mentioned Brock and the leadership that he's
for sure.
I mean, More and more. I mean, it does look like he says it. He understands this is his role now. Mm-hmm. There's no question. Obviously, there's been questions every single year, right?
Isn't it nice?
It's unbelievable,
right? It's so nice this year.
Nobody's rehabbing. You don't have a couple quarterbacks working against each other.
What is that?
You think back on it. How trying was that just to go through year after year, not entirely sure who your quarterback was?
I felt like, it was always interesting, and it was just like, how many different types of questions can I get asked regarding the quarterback situation? And, you know, for me, it's like, I'm going to defend all my guys, like, no matter who they were, whether, you know, their starting quarterback, whether the third string quarterback, like, I'm going to defend all my guys because I get to know them in the locker room. I get to know them outside the football facility, and I like it. And there hasn't been a quarterback on our team that I was like, I hate that guy. So like, I'm going to defend all my teammates. And so, really, the worst guy was just got mildly annoying at one point. It's just like, you guys have asked me the same question 3 years in a row. Like, I don't know. I'm going to be out there regardless on Sunday and practicing with them. And whoever's out there throwing the ball, it is what it is. So just to have, like, the stability, it's nice, like, not having to answer those questions. Now, for some reason, I still have to answer 100 questions about, is Brock pretty good at football? And it's like, yeah, and you check the stats, watch the tape, he's pretty good at football. So that's a little easier to answer than, you know, talking about who's your quarterback going to be. So there's that. I think it's been great. And I'm happy for Brock to be able to actually have an off season, because last year he was here every single day at the facility doing treatment, rehab on his elbow, was not able to take any type of like decompressing trip, you know, a vacation with his wife to like calm down and like relax after a season. And so being able to do that after this season, like just take time for himself and not have to just, hey, game ended, you're gonna have surgery, and like this is your off season. Now he had time to, he went and got married, he went on a honeymoon. Like, he was able to calm down a little bit. And when you're able to do that, it kind of like reignites a hunger for, like, you have that itch. It's like, football season's coming and I need to get in the best shape of my life and be at my best self. And so I feel like I saw that from Brock. I feel like when he showed up to OTAs, when I saw him, he looked like he was just ready to go. And I showed up to training camp, and he has the same thing. Like, he's just hungry to get better every day. And when you feel that off of your starting quarterback, it makes you just want to go as well. And like, and I always want to go. Like, I love football. But when you have someone else, especially the guy who's starting the football, and you can see his eagerness to get better, it definitely, like, and I use light a fire, but like, it definitely like just gets you going a little bit more.
Final question.
Sure.
What about Brock? Is the, like, people ask me, is he the man, you know, the edge, the guy that, you know, is going to lead you to the big games, already has. What is that? What is that about Brock?
I'm trying to give you something that's not just, you know, he's a good hard worker that shows up every day and he's consistent. Because, like, he expects so much out of himself. And I don't know if that's because he's a quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And, like, you know, that's a lot. You're like, you're standing on the shoulders of legends. Like, you're standing on, you know, Joe Montana and Steve Young.
Staley pretty good.
Yeah, Staley was awesome. But, like, you're like, every time there's a quarterback of the 49ers, it's like this huge thing, right? You have this huge spotlight on you. And I think he's done a great job handling that. But he's also like, you know, I am the guy, and I'm going to show up every single day. I'm going to get the most out of my teammates. I'm going to get most out of every single rep. And just, like, that type of consistency, and I said, like, that type of eagerness is just, it is infectious. And when you're the quarterback and you are demanding that out of both yourself and your teammates, and you lead by example. And like, I don't need Brock to give me a rah-rah speech. You can just kind of see it in his eyes. Like, he has a switch that flips. That's like, it's game time. It's, hey, we got to go. And when you see that in a huddle, you're just like, fuck yes. Mm-hmm. And I just like, you, when you have a quarterback that, that gets your attention in the huddle instantly, there's, I don't think every quarterback in the NFL has that part of them. There's a lot. Like, there's good quarterbacks. But like, when you hear his voice and all 11, all 10 heads snap and look at him, you're just like, oh, let's go, man.
George, appreciate it. Thank you,
course, man.
And we didn't get too distracted by that. USA wins, but we did as well.
USA wins.